For my friends, they shoulder me in my poor head of woe. They know I'm good, but I wanna be bad. Standing with the lights down low and the lovers who make love, they see me smiling, but I wanna be sad. Would you light me up, really set me on fire, and be there when I'm burning out? Would you hold my head 'neath the water tile and elbow me if I get too loud? Evil walks the streets by day, between every crack and pave, and by night it cowers and hides. Here it comes, that awful sting, when you let someone in. You sit so bare in the lame-legged chair. Would you light me up, really set me on fire, and be there when I'm burning out? Would you hold my head 'neath the water tile and elbow me if I get too loud? Wanna live between the lines and where the truth dies. Everything in its own time. Would you light me up? Really set me on fire? Be there when I'm burning out. Would you hold my hand 'neath the water tile and elbow me if I get too loud? Would you light me up, really set me on fire, and be there when I'm burning out? Would you hold my head 'neath the water tile and elbow me if I get too loud?
That's Northern Irish singer-songwriter Kieran Lavery with Shame from his 2014 album Not Nearly Dark. Kieran has been creating quite a bit of buzz for his achingly beautiful songs and stellar songwriting. The new album, Let Bad In, has also been receiving some great reviews, and Kieran's about to make his first trip to Canada for his Canadian debut, which will take place in Guelph at Silence on August the 15th. And Kieran Lavery is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. How are you doing today, Kieran?
Yeah, I'm doing really good. How are you?
I thought we'd start the interview by talking a little bit about how you started in music.
It was probably just the same as any other teenager growing up. I formed a very, very bad punk rock instrumental band as a 13, 14-year-old, and at the time was still trying to get to grips with the guitar. I kind of bypassed wanting to go through all the technical learnings of the guitar, and was straight away just convinced that I was going to pick it up and suddenly would become Billy Joe Armstrong or you know, something like that. I kind of realized after a year or two of fumbling around with the electric guitar that it just wasn't for me. And around that time, my brother-in-law, he was a really massive influence on the type of music that I would end up later writing, because he was constantly leaving these albums in my room with small post-its and things I didn't really grasp at that time, being, you know, 15, going on 16, and I was listening to, you know, Neil Young and Woody Guthrie, Leonard Cohen, all the kind of early Woodstock bands and things like that, and to me it was just, a lot of it flew over my head. I suppose I didn't really have the emotional connection or even the maturity at that stage to realize half of the things that were being said. And it didn't click until a few years later, whenever I write my own music, and just things just started to mutate back into that singer-songwriter form that I had been listening to and probably subconsciously been just soaking up like a sponge. So, yeah, I was in a band for the guts of 8 years. We were kind of alt-country, I suppose, if you could call it that. That's sort of where I cut my teeth live, made an awful lot of mistakes, but it was great for me personally. And then it just through time and I suppose life kind of taken over for people, and babies came along and families came along and things like that. So the band sort of fell away before we really got to take off anywhere outside of Ireland, really. But at that stage, I had already caught the bug, and I knew that I wanted to continue writing music. So quickly made the transition from being as part of a band into a singer-songwriter solo. Within a year or two, I had recorded Not Nearly Dark. I suppose the last 12 months have been a bit of a transition or a new phase for me, or you know, which has been perfect. It's been great to move on a little and finally get out of Ireland and see parts of the world. And I've been lucky enough that I've been to Europe and a lot of venues in the UK, and I've been to America a couple of times now, so I'm very excited to finally get into Canada. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
And certainly the Not Nearly Dark album was very well received. We started off with Shame from that album, that certainly was a very popular song for you. You have a reputation, I think, for not being your typical singer-songwriter, that you are quite comfortable shifting style depending on the subject matter of the song itself. Can you talk about why it's important to make sure that you allow each of the songs to develop as seems appropriate?
Well, I suppose, I mean, I treat songs as completely separate animals, so if it feels like a certain song needs something in it, I mean, I tend to get ideas for songs, and I can hear sounds in songs from a very early stage, so I try not to deny that or look at it like, you know, as if, oh, this doesn't fit with what I normally sound like, because even that sentence kind of scares me to death, because I would hate to think that even in myself, like I was just falling into this comfort zone where I only write a certain type of song, or this is what people know me for, so I should stick with this. Some of my favorite songwriters, the Tom Waitses and the, you know, Nick Caves of this world, like they don't really consider that. I don't think so. Anyway, I don't get by their listening to their music that they consider, you know, that there's a certain sound that they're expected to be like or to create every single time. I think being influenced by kind of brave musicians like that who don't really see themselves as being pigeonholed or having too many restraints, especially either what they write about lyrically and or sound-wise. So I enjoy the studio as much as anybody. I really try not to put too many shackles on myself. I know that whenever I went in to write Not Nearly Dark, when we went into the studio with it, I was just very kind of aware of wanting to have just enough rather than bombard the songs with so many sounds. It was all about trying to create an atmosphere and using the space as a separate instrument or as an additional instruments where possible. So I'm still at a very early stage. I feel there's a lot of development that I have to do. I'm kind of content with not really putting too many barriers in front of myself, either writing or recording music. So it just makes the process, I think, a bit more enjoyable.
You mentioned Tom Waits and Nick Cave. Beck also comes to mind as probably an influence for you, certainly yeah, somebody I mean, who's not afraid to mix it up completely. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Beck reference was definitely something that I looked at towards the percussion and the rhythm section of the recordings, especially with Kosher, with the EP and elements of the new album. And I was just, from I was 14, 15 years old, I kind of fell in love with hip-hop. It was around the time when Eminem had just kind of exploded onto the scene. And I was a very impressionable 14-year-old who, my mind was totally blown by all these new sounds. And I just love how bold and how that kind of low end that you can get from that music. And not only that, but to be able to bring it across and pollinate that with the singer-songwriter sound is something that I've kind of been interested in and I've just been dabbling with as of late. But Beck is a master at kind of creating those records where you just don't know what he's going to bring out next. So, yeah, another interesting artist for sure.
So Let Bad In is the new album. We're going to play a track from that in a few seconds. Do you feel that there has been a definite progression in your songwriting through the EPs, through the Not Nearly Dark album to this new album?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. It's hard to tell because I'm looking at things completely different from what people who listen to my music are. But I definitely felt at the point of writing the new album that I wanted to go in and create something that was personal to me. That's why the album is mostly all based around memories that I've had from a child right up until present day. I think for me it was a bit of a challenge to kind of just work on the muscles in my brain to be able to write these types of songs and to see if I could achieve that. I hope I have. You know, I was certainly happy with the results, so, and I hope people, you know, enjoy it.
Well, let's take a break with a track from that album. The track we've selected is Okkervil River. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, well, the song was probably almost formed, and it's just based around a memory that I have in childhood, and it's from the perspective of someone older or someone in that current age of that, you know, early teens, and things that, like, I mean, there's some areas of it that are quite dark, but because I'm, you know, it's being looked at from a child's perspective, it kind of almost gets brushed over. And the idea of, the reason why it's called Okkervil River is just basically because at the time, whenever I was writing that song and writing some of the album, I discovered the band Okkervil River, and I thought I really wanted to name check a band that I liked and that I was really into. And not the big stereotypical names like the Bob Dylans and whatever. So, and I really liked the name, and it worked well with the way that it was lyrically working the song. So that's kind of how it came together.
Let's listen to that just now. This is Kieran Lavery from his latest album. It's entitled Let Bad In, and this is Okkervil River. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Down.
down like a falling wind. We were young, we were broke, we had everything. So forget me not, for when I was 15, I was shy, I was green, I had everything, I had everything. Hold of simple things. For when I was 15, I had everything, I had everything.
That's Kieran Lavery with Okkervil River from his latest album. It's entitled Let Bad In. He's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. He will be in Guelph for his Canadian debut at Silence on August the 15th. Great to be able to talk to you about your music. When you talk about the lyrics, though, Kieran, I get the impression that it's really important for you to try and to be able to say what you want. Does that mean that you work on the lyrics first whenever you're coming up with a song?
Sometimes. I mean, it's so interchangeable, and it has been over the past few years. There's times where lyrics can come to me in the strangest places. It's kind of like that. I remember going to see Arlo Guthrie a few years back in Belfast, and he was talking about how he treated songs like you're out fishing and you put your rod in the water and you just wait for songs to come along, and sometimes you catch the big ones and sometimes you catch the small ones and sometimes you catch the boots, and you know, it just really depends on what you get. Songs can sometimes arrive completely fully formed, and I try not to question it. I don't think there's any point in trying to question it, but I suppose with age, the only thing is that I find myself being a bit more critical, and I'll go through everything with a bit of a fine-tooth comb to make sure that, as far as I can, make the lyrics as strong as possible without really trying to, you know, veer off direction or whatever. It has always been something that's interested me, and especially with songs from an early age, the lyrics were something that I was drawn to first, so I kind of feel possibly a bit more protective and personal about the lyrics rather than the signs, just because I would hate to ever be lazy about them, you know.
Can we talk about the live experience? You know, you've talked a lot about developing these songs, crafting them, bringing in your personal experience, particularly on the latest album, Let Bad In. Tell us a little bit about performing live.
I suppose it's a completely other side of my music. I mean, most of the time when I travel, I travel solo with just a guitar and myself, sometimes with piano. But I've really learned over the last few years, my live sound has developed as much as my recorded sound and as much as my writing style has as well. And I've always been someone who's enjoyed those intimate shows where the barrier between performer and audience is either non-existent or it's very relaxed, you know. I like that idea of it not kind of being this huge distance where, you know, you feel unrelatable or so much of a stranger to the person that's performing on stage. If anything, I probably talk too much on stage and I talk to people a lot. But I really enjoy performances. I went through a period where I was determined never to write down a set list because I always imagined that each show was its own personal identity and that I would introduce songs or change things around. as they suited for each evening, rather than arrive and just kind of say, you know, here's the 15 songs or whatever, and I'm just going to play these right through. And I still, you know, I still like doing that. So I suppose, if anything, I try to make the live experience as personal and as fun as you can when you're playing really depressing singer-songwriter songs.
Do you ever miss the band dynamic? I mean, you know, you mentioned you were in a band for quite a while at the start, and you know, I imagine that's a case of getting comfortable with the music, and then you realize that this is really what you want to do. Do you ever miss having people on stage with you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think to a certain point, or after a certain point, I almost get sick of just hearing myself and the guitar and my own voice even speaking a lot. So it's something that I have used, and recently I've been using there's been three of us on stage, but it's kind of something that I dabble in. At the same time, I suppose the freedom of being a solo artist is, right now the advantages are, I mean, just about outweigh it. I can understand the camaraderie that you have in a band. I'd love to be able to bottle that and take it with me, because sometimes traveling can be quite lonely, but no, I suppose if anything, it's made me develop my own sound and kind of look to hone in on different things. So then when the day comes that I'll just be touring with a band consistently and only then, I can hopefully feel comfortable that for my own personal performance, I'm going to get it right every time, rather than be shielded by the sounds of others, you know.
And we mentioned at the start of the interview, you'll be at Silence and Guelph on the 15th of August. That's a Monday. You also have a couple of dates in Toronto, I think, at the Danforth Music Hall on Tuesday the 16th and Wednesday the 17th. And then a couple of dates in the US before you head home again?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it's going to be about a week in total. So, yeah, three in Canada, and then I think it's about three or four again in the States. I'm really looking forward to it. Always kind of thought, you know, Canada is going to be one of these places that it'll be another few years before this opportunity comes up. But I got the call about the support slots on the Tuesday and Wednesday, and I couldn't really turn them down.
And what does the future hold? You've obviously, this album you released in May, you're getting out there and touring it. What are your future plans?
Well, right now, back in the studio, I'm kind of in and out of the studio at the minute. I'm just working on new songs. I kind of tend to write in bunches. It's almost like a lot of just train carriages that come along, and I've been lucky enough that the next set of songs all seem to sit in line with each other. So I wanted to go in and try to record some of that before I end up forgetting them, because my memory is horrible. And I'll tour probably right through the autumn and get maybe a small break. When I can, I'll just be back in the studio again. And yeah, that's probably it for the foreseeable. I have a few different things, different projects that are coming up in between. Everything will be uploaded and across my social media and the website and things like that. So
yeah, and if people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can go through the website, which is kieranlaverymusic.com, and all the social media links are there, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and all that jazz.
Well, look, we're going to finish with another track from the album, and I think this is one of the singles we're going to play, which is Return to Form. Do you want to tell us about that song?
Yeah, well, Return to Form was probably one of the first things that were written for the new album, possibly one of the most honest songs that I've written, just because I think I was at a point in my life where when every birthday used to pass, I had this huge obsession with looking up different people, and especially inventors and songwriters. And I almost tried to follow their career, and at what age that they broke, or what age they wrote a certain song, or what age they invented something or whatever. And I found myself bypassing their age. And it used to depress me so badly that I thought, Jesus, I've missed this. I've missed the boat. You know, I'm now 2 years older than, you know, whenever Bob Dylan wrote The Freewheeling, or, you know, something like that. But then I just stopped worrying about it. The last year and a half, I've just become a bit more comfortable in my own skin. And so the song is almost a celebration of that fact.
It's been great to talk to you today. We're going to finish with Kieran Lavery, Return to Form, from his latest album, Let Bad In. And remember, he will be on tour in Canada with a debut at Silence in Guelph on Monday, August the 15th, and then a couple of shows in Toronto at the Danforth on Tuesday and Wednesday of that week. Kieran, it's been great to talk to you today.
Thanks very much. You too.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Me by. I used to be green and careless. Now I'm seldom taken by surprise. Hey there, mama, yeah, see me now. Well, look how your boy's grown up. I used to be afraid of falling. It's like my heart was on the run, but this is no funeral horn. What this is a return to form. Accelerating at a speed and I can't keep up. All of these things they're selling, I've no idea or need for a single one. Hey there, mama, yeah, see me now. Well, look how your boy's grown. No funeral horn. What this is a return to form. Hey there, mama, yeah, see me now. Well, look how your boy's grown up. I used to be afraid of falling, and my heart was on the run. But this is no funeral horn. What this is a return to form.